Raising women's voices, one story at a time. Welcome to the She Said Project Podcast. Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the She Said Project Podcast. I am your host, Jeanette Jerzyk, National Director of the She Said Project.
And I'm Carrie Rosso, co-founder of the She Said Project.
Carrie, this is very exciting because you've created a world, a movement, an opportunity, a safe space for women to have a voice and to share their stories.
Well, I haven't created anything new. Women have been telling their stories and exchanging stories and lifting each other up since the dawn of time. We just put a microphone in front of them.
And why is it so important?
Well, it's a huge relief to tell our stories. You know, one, if we're carrying it around and then eventually you just have to blurt it out and then you think, wow, that wasn't such a big deal after all. Or it's the Me Too moments.
Yes.
You say, and I don't mean that just in the assault arena, the Me Too moment of nodding your head or belly laughing or connecting to other people. And at the end of the day, knowing that we are not alone, that there's someone out there who has the same weird story of, you know, something that happened to you or that shares a trauma or shares a success. But it's all about, at the end of the day, we just want to connect to each other.
We just want to connect. I thoroughly agree. One of the ways that we create those opportunities at the She Said Project is through live storytelling events called
That's what she said,
which has been going on in the Champaign-Urbana community for over 5 years now. That must be very exciting.
Well, it is, because when the show started, we wanted to put everyday women. We didn't want slick, polished speakers on the stage. We wanted everyday women to stand up and give just a quick snapshot into their lives. And we always say that telling your story is just as important as hearing someone's story. So we wanted the experience for the people sitting in the audience to connect to. That's my teacher. That's my coworker. That's my the lady that checks me out at the, not checks me out, you know, but like, hey, hubba hubba, but, you know, checks me out at the grocery store. Maybe she checks me out. I don't know. Whatever. But, you know, all of those things that are the women in your community that are the backdrop of your everyday life. And then all of a sudden going, wow, I didn't know that about them. And again, you connect.
Because everyone has a story.
Yep.
And that is the premise at That's What She Said, to find those stories, those belly laughs, those ugly cries, and everything in between, and to give everyday women a microphone where they can share those moments, those embarrassing moments, and those dramatic moments.
Yeah, it's a simple mission, but as we often say, the results are extraordinary.
Right. We have witnessed the Champaign community coming together, the women coming together to support their friends and their coworkers and their mothers and their sisters and their daughters on stage, cheering, laughing, crying. That human connection, it has been cultivated and it is palpable. It is in the room.
Well, and the greatest thing, after every single show, I can't wait to get home because I know there's going to be at least one email when I get home. Or a week later, a month later, there's going to be a letter in my mailbox. And it'll say, you know, like, founder of the She Said show, Champaign, Illinois. And somehow it will find its way to me. And it will be some woman saying either the whole Me Too thing or saying, I know a gal, you know, and then they want to shine a light on someone. And I find that so lovely that women are so eager to shine a light on women they know. Often when we ask them about themselves, the first thing they'll say is, oh, I don't have a story, but you should meet my friend Heidi. And it's just like, no, wait, we'll get to your friend Heidi. But when people say that, it just fuels my fire to hear their story.
And I've had the pleasure of working with the women who have appeared on stage. That's What She Said, since 2015. Thank you for the honor. I've gotten to direct the show. And now I am producing the very first show outside of Champaign-Urbana, which is in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. And I am so excited to watch this mission grow. There are so many women with so many stories. And here at the She Said Project podcast, we're just finding a way to share them with even more women. So friends, sisters, mothers, daughters, thank you so much for joining us. We've been producing this show in Champaign for 5 years, and we know, we've seen the impact, and we have dozens, dozens of stories that we have already recorded and witnessed. And now here through the podcast, we want to share some of them with you and talk about the impact that they've had on the women who've bared their souls and the women in the community. Now, Carrie, going back to the very first That's What She Said in 2013, when you and your co-founders, Jill and Casey, marched on that stage and let your freak flag fly.
That's right.
Right. You shared a story that night. You braved the microphone and told a personal story, and it was called
Naked on Healy Street.
Naked on Healy Street.
And I have to say that I shared that story before I realized that my children would grow up and learn how to use Google.
Oh, yes. Everything is on the internet and it's forever. But that was an important story for you to share that night. And let's go ahead and listen to the live clip and then we'll talk about why. So here is Carrie Rosso from That's What She Said, Champaign-Urbana 2013 cast, Naked on Healy Street.
My name is Carrie and I am chronically awkward. I come from a long line of awkward ladies. I have a long history of awkward moments and bringing shame upon my family. But when I turned 40, I decided to stop battling the awkward, and I was gonna just let my freak flag fly loud and proud. You never know where these moments are gonna happen to you. For me, it happened at our old YMCA. My husband and I had taken our four monkeys to play basketball and to enjoy a family swim night, which, let me tell you, family swim night, that is code for public family squabbling. Do not be fooled by Amy Armstrong. So, as we got to the door, my husband said some beautiful words to me. He said, "Why don't I take them home and you stay behind and have some alone time?" Ah. And so, boom, I sprinted to the locker room. But in my sprint, I forgot to get the gym bag from him. Oops. That gym bag had my granny suit and matching skirt that I swore I would never own. But nevertheless, it was in a swagger wagon on its way home. So I stood there having this mental argument with myself. I really wanted that alone time, but I really did not want to join the Naked Locker Room Ladies Club. You know who those ladies are. They stand around in the locker room and they chit-chat, wearing only a smile. And they do their pre-workout stretches. Amy, good to see you. How are the kids? Mrs. Stevens, how are you? Wow. No, I did not want to join that club. But I threw caution to the wind and my clothes, and I got in that hot tub. And it was so relaxing. It was awesome for 39 seconds. Into the locker room came Mrs. Stepford, perfectly coiffed and in her very appropriate tankini. So being the ninja I am, I quickly positioned myself so that she would be shielded from my full frontal. But my plan backfired because then she was unsuspecting when she climbed into the hot tub. And I saw the horror register on her face. So we both stared at the walls for answer. She lasted about 9 seconds and she bolted. But she did not warn Miss 19-year-old hard body swimmer trainer type that was coming in. So unsuspecting, in came Miss Hardbody. She did not have the courtesy that Mrs. Stepford had had. Youth, kids today. Her eyes locked right on my 36 longs. And I didn't know, like, what do you do? Do you just sit there and like, yeah, that's right? Or what would I even say if I said anything, you know? I mean, I could go all sort of aggressive and gangsta. You want a piece of this? But I thought that might creep her out. That's wrong. And then I thought I could just go sort of bitter and sad. You know, this is going to happen to your body one day, too. You're looking into a mirror, sweetheart. It's coming. But I didn't have to make a decision, thankfully, because, well, thankfully, I heard it again. Creak! Are you kidding me, YMCA? Really? Are you on the intercom out there? Ladies and gentlemen, we have our very own naked soccer mom in the hot tub tonight. You kidding? So I turned to look, and it is a woman, the very vision of modesty, wearing a burqa. It was awful. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. So I should have just sat there. I know that now. I should have just waited them out. But being the queen of impulsivity and awkward moments, I freaked my freak. And as I was bolting, leaping over Miss Hardbody, and you know what? She threw her hands up in a protective movement. And I still don't know. Was she trying to shield her eyes? Look away! Look away! My eyes! My eyes! Or was she fearing that she was about to get smacked with my loose boob? I don't know. But I didn't wait around. So I had a college flashback and, you know, got my clothes back on and did the walk of shame right out of the door. It was awful. For days, days, this story, every time I thought of it, I wanted to throw up. There are a lot of these moments in my life, and I decided this is it. I'm not going to let this embarrassing story fester. I'm going to tell my sisters and my girlfriends. I vowed to let my freak flag fly from here on out. So I told my sisters and my girlfriends, and they were so supportive, and they laughed, and they laughed, and they laughed. Thank you for that. And there's great relief in the telling of our stories to each other. So here's the takeaway. Find your peeps, your posse, your tribe, whatever. Find those women that make you laugh. My friends and I formed a neighborhood mom office, and we call it the Moffice. Many of you have been there. We show up every day with our laptops and our to-do lists. Some days we work in silence, barring Yas's tooting. And some days we dance to 80s music, and some days we prank the people who had the nerve to not show up that day. But every day, we laugh. And last year, I made a bold statement in that office to my office mates. I was working on a big project, and I said, if that thing happens, I am going to run naked down Healy Street. And yeah, that's right. Of course, that thing had happened. And my office mates held me to my word. They are so kind that way, but I'm going to fly my freak flag. So on a cold January morning, with snow on the ground, my friends lined Healy Street with their swagger wagons, and I dropped my parka, and I took the coldest 20-yard dash of my life. Thank you for that vow. I'm so sorry. It's bad enough if you saw it in person, but to see it that big, and I am so sorry. And as it was happening, I knew that this was a story I would tell my girls someday. Someday, far, far away from now. But I would tell my girls, find those women that will take your picture while you're naked on Healy Street. But find those women who will hold you to your word. Find those women who will remind you that you wanted to write that book or run that marathon or stand on that stage. Find those women who will fly their freak flag right next to yours. Loud and proud, ladies.
There are so many questions. There's so many moments.
Yes.
Find your people.
Yes. So what it is for you might not be that you are taking a freezing cold 20-yard dash when you're nakey-snakey, It's whatever it is. For me, it was that Naked on Healy Street day, but it's exactly that. It's all those things, whatever it is, fill in the blank. If you need to write the book or you want to pitch a movie or you want to, whatever it is, get a degree, go back to school.
Find the people who will cheer you on. Find the women who will support you no matter what.
Yes, because it all comes back to that, the connections and putting women, being purposeful about the people you put in your life. If you throw out some crazy idea like I did to Jill, if we get that thing, I'm going to do this Naked on Healy Street thing. And Jill didn't say, well, did you think that through? Have you written a business plan? Have you this? No, she was like, I'm calling our people and I'm charging my phone and camera battery. You know, she was the first person to say, we're going to do this.
She allowed you to be vulnerable. She gave you permission to be just a little bit crazy.
Well, she held me to it. You know, so when that thing happened, it wasn't just like silently passing by. She held me to it and said, so remember that thing you said you would do if this happened? Well, here we are.
She kept you to your word.
Yes. So it's important to have those people in your life.
It is.
So when my kids did eventually Google my name and these kinds of things came up and we had, you know, once I got past the shame of, and they had to pour bleach in their eyes after seeing a photo of their mom leaping into the air on a snowy day. Once we got past those things, then we could talk about, be daring, be bold. And that's different for everyone. You know, it isn't going to be the same. Hopefully my kiddos aren't going to be naked on Healy Street. But
if they were, you would be
chickens
supportive.
Have come home to roost. It's payback. But hopefully they will know to live boldly. And then also it was important to me, and it's still important to me, to show my kiddos that I have hopes and dreams and that I work toward things and that I participate in many things that are outside of the four walls we live in. And that there are some things that I share with them and some things that I won't. Well, some things I didn't want to share with them, and then apparently I did. But showing them that I am a whole, full person. And then for my daughters, especially in this culture that shows so much of the negative stereotype of women, women being catty, women tearing each other down, that being competitive is a bad thing, to show them that I have these women in my life who build me up and who are the first people that I like whisper and like a little dream that I have. And then they shout that dream back at me and encourage me to do it. That is what I wanted my girls to see. And I want them to then go out and be purposeful about the women they put in their lives.
And I think at the very beginning of this whole process, you made it crystal clear that you were going to leap and hope that that net appeared. Like you've said that, that's part of your mantra, leap and the net will appear. And that has been an inspiration in my life. And in each of those women who followed you onto the stage that night, they didn't know what to expect. They didn't know that the community would cheer them on and come to support them. And they took a leap of faith and it was a beautiful event.
Well, and one of the things that has sort of come full circle, one of the other things we talk about is giving yourself permission to rewrite your script. So as far as the She Said Project, all of the things started happening. Like every dream I had and every hope I had for the project, it was all coming true. And it was coming true at a time when my kiddos were becoming teenagers. And all of a sudden I realized this is going by so quickly. And then it was this weird moment of I can't take advantage and enjoy all of those dreams right now. You know, it's the thing if you can have it all, but maybe not all at the same time. But maybe you can. Whatever. It's different for everyone. But for me, I couldn't. And I think that looking back, I realize what a gift it was when I had to say, I got to go. I got to leave the party because I don't want to miss. I'll be sad to miss this party, but I want to go and be sitting at a soccer game watching my kiddos. I don't want to miss that. If I have to miss something, that's not going to be it. And the beauty of you stepping in and saying, I got you, girl. You go on to that soccer game because I'm going to grow this in every way that you could dream.
And it's been an honor to catch the baton, if you will, that you were passing because we didn't want this movement to end. There were so many women who've expressed gratitude and support for the mission and the purpose behind That's What She Said. And so not only has it grown in the Champaign-Urbana community, but now there are live shows. That's what she said, shows going into more communities. We built an empowerment program for teen girls called That's What Teens Say with our very fabulous partner, Erin Tarr at Be the Benchmark. We are launching this podcast to share stories with even more women. We are building the Shoe Said Project, where we run a shoe drive annually at the Illinois Marathon weekend, but also at each and every live event. And we're partnered with Share Your Souls Foundation in Chicago to distribute shoes, gently worn shoes, to women and children in impoverished communities across the globe. Like, we are figuring out ways to take the mission of exchanging stories to a whole new level. And it's all because of your vision and this one moment where we said, let's take a chance.
Well, the leap in the net will appear. You know, Jill and Casey and I, none of us, we didn't have theater experience. The only thing we had to offer was our passion, and we were earnest, and we loved women and wanted to tell stories and give that to each other and give that to our girls in the community we were in, everyone around us. We keep saying that, like, we were like the Three Stooges. We just kept going because nobody ever stopped us. You know, we would go to the theater, we want to do this, and they would say, okay. And then we'd go to a graphic designer, we need this, and she'd say, okay. We just kept going because so many people
said yes. And that is remarkable. There are so many dreams that women have that they don't even ask that question. They've already said no in their brains, and all they had to do was ask. And as you know, I teach improv theater workshops, and I work with all the women who get to perform on stage, and that's what she said. And the very first exercise we do in every rehearsal is the first rule of improv.
Yes, and.
And that is about shutting down that default reaction to say no all the time. Because the world is beautiful when you just say yes.
And it applies everywhere, you know, in parenting. And let me tell you that that's a struggle to say yes and when my default is immediately like, no, you'll hurt yourself. You'll poke your eye out, kid.
It's your factory default setting.
Yes. Yes, and you can do that when you're 30.
Oh, I like that. Yes, and I will think about it is the one comes out of my mouth the most. My daughter's figured me out. Whenever I say the words, I'll think about it. She's just turned 7 yesterday. She looks at me and goes, Mom, I know that means no.
They cracked your code.
They did, actually. It's kind of embarrassing, but it's true. This is our first episode of the She Said Project podcast, and we want to welcome and thank all of the women in the Champaign-Urbana community for tuning in and listening and helping us build and grow this mission of women supporting women through the power of storytelling. We want to welcome the women in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois, and Peoria, Illinois, and Chicago, Illinois, and Seattle, and Pasadena, and Los Angeles, and Tallahassee, and Wichita, and Wilmington, North Carolina, and Boston, and all the communities that are now going to have access to the vault of She Said Stories, and that can learn more about bringing That's What She Said to their community in a number of ways. We have a ton of wonderful, useful information on our website, shesaidproject.com, where you can learn how to launch a live event, a live That's What She Said show in your community, get involved, support the mission of women supporting women. So Carrie, congratulations. It's an honor to work with you.
Thank you, Jeanette, for taking this and realizing that women's stories, it's universal. It isn't just here. Everywhere women have a story. And if we can connect all of those stories and have just one person belly laugh or nod along or say me too, and that we can make those connections. Thank you for making that happen.
And thank you for being the inspiration. And thank you, friends, for joining us. This is the first ever She Said Project podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and you'll tune in again next week. Thank you, She Said Sisters. Thank you for listening to the She Said Project podcast in partnership with Illinois Public Media. All materials contained in the podcast are the exclusive property of the She Said Project and That's What She Said LLC. For more information on our live shows, go to shesaidproject.com. This podcast was presented by Sterling Wealth Management, empowering women to live their best lives. Learn more at sterlingwealthmanagement.com.